أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهد الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and we seek help from Him. We ask forgiveness from Him. We repent to Him. And we seek refuge in Him from our own evils and our own bad deeds. Anyone who is guided by Allah is indeed guided. And anyone who has been left astray will find no one to guide him. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, the only one, without any partner. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, be aware of Allah with correct awareness and awe-inspired awareness and die not except as Muslims. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wa may yu'ti Allaha wa rasula faqad faza fawzan 'azima. O you who believe, be aware of Allah and speak a straightforward word. He will forgive your sins and repair your deeds. And whoever takes Allah and His Prophet as a guide has already achieved a mighty victory. In the opening verse of Surah An-Nisa, Allah says, O mankind, show reverence towards your guardian Lord who created you from a single person, created of like nature his mate, and from the two of them scattered like seeds, countless men and women. Be conscious of Allah, through whom you demand your mutual rights, and show reverence towards the wombs that bore you, for surely Allah ever watches over you. My dear sisters and brothers, in last week's khutbah, Brother Atif dealt with a common argument that we hear amongst atheists. How can there be a God when there is so much grief and so much suffering in the world? How can a merciful God allow so much pain and so much hardship? These arguments say that because innocent people suffer pain and distress, that proves that there is no God. And some atheists say that if God does exist, He must be very cruel and therefore doesn't deserve our obedience and our worship. Now I'm sure at this university and elsewhere, we all encounter people with such arguments. But how do we answer them? How do we address these issues? As the Khatib said last week, sometimes we have our own concerns like this and we don't know how to address them. Firstly, I would say, you must always determine whether you're having a serious exploration to uncover the truth or just another point-scoring debate. Not every person you discuss is really serious about uncovering the truth. Some people make provocative public announcements just to publicize their books or to massage their egos, and they're not seriously interested in searching for the truth. They want to play intellectual games using mental gymnastics to defend a closed mindset. My advice to you is, don't waste your time with such people. On the other hand, in a serious discussion, and there are many people who seriously want to debate and find out and question the arguments, we should always say that pain and suffering is a part of life. You know, nobody was born and given a certificate or a guarantee that for the rest of your life you're not going to suffer, you're not going to experience any pain or hardship. Nobody. Did anyone get a guarantee like that? Nobody got a guarantee that when you're born, you'll always be happy, you'll never suffer disappointment, never suffer ill health. Pain and suffering, ill health, loss of family and friends, that comes with life, it's part of life. So you can't use that as a proof that God exists or God doesn't exist. On the contrary, it does actually provide us evidence of God's wisdom. Allah, in His infinite wisdom, has created a world of complementary opposites. Now, what do we mean by this complementary opposites? It means that opposites are necessary for us to make sense of things. You know, there's life and there's death. You wouldn't know what life is unless you knew what death was. There's good and bad. There's rich and poor. There's love and hate. There's light and darkness. We need to understand opposites in order to make sense of the world. Opposites need each other. It has to be that way. How can you appreciate comfort without having known pain? How can you show courage without having resisted cowardice? How can you appreciate beauty unless you know something about ugliness as well? How can you know anything without experiencing something of its opposite? And this brings us to the bigger question even. And it's very important when you have these debates, you can't have a debate in a vacuum on an issue and not step back and take the wider picture. And the wider picture, if you step back, is to ask those big existential questions. How did this universe begin? Where have we all come from? Where are we going to? What happens after our death? Does our life have any meaning? These are the big questions that we need to address before you come to questions of suffering and grief and where those things fit into the whole puzzle, into the whole plan. Now, believers know that the universe didn't create itself. And it didn't just happen by chance. We read in the Quran, Kun fayakun. Be and it is. This is what Allah's decree. Between the Kaf and the Noon, in a moment, in a fragment of a second, Allah says, be and it is. That's how it is. That is how Nabi Isa's birth was described. And that is how Allah created the universe. The scientists tell us about the Big Bang 14 billion years ago and so forth, how time and space and matter and everything came into existence. Well, if that was how it happened, yes. But it didn't happen without Allah's command, be kun fayakun. And Allah also tells us in the Quran, I have not created jinns, which are subtle creatures, and human beings except to worship me. So we were created for worship. Our purpose as human beings, as children of Adam and Eve, as custodians, guardians, and trustees of planet Earth, is simply to know, to love, to adore, and to obey Allah, the one who created everything. When we do this, when we worship Allah, and we serve His creation, we serve Him, we look after His creation as reliable custodians, then Allah lifts the veils of ignorance from our eyes. Now the atheist has been given sight. Allah has given everybody so many gifts, but of course the atheist doesn't thank Allah. We, the believers, thank Allah. We appreciate. Faith is about thanking and being and acknowledging. And it's not an accident that the word kufr or kafir is someone who covers up, who knows the truth but covers it up and who denies. And there's an element of ingratitude in there as well. So when you have a debate with an atheist, you have to take this. You have to step backwards and take in the whole picture first. So the atheist, like everybody else, is given sight. The Arabic word is basar. But there is another word, basira, which is inner sight, insight, understanding the hidden meaning of things. And that isn't given to everybody. And Allah Ta'ala lifts the veils from our eyes when we turn to Him, when we worship Him, when we adore Him with love and gratitude, and we show love and mercy and gratitude to all His creatures. Then Allah lifts the veils of ignorance from the eyes of the believer. And one scholar said, beware the inner sight, the basira of the believer. Because the believer, the true believer, the one who worships Allah passionately and constantly, cultivates, Allah gifts them with an inner sight, an intuition that doesn't need logic or reason to figure things out. So this penetrating insight, this basira, is something that Allah Ta'ala grants only those who are very close to Him. And that is the reward for taming the lower self, the lower nafs, the ego, and purifying the spiritual heart, the qalb. and constantly seeking to keep it healthy and sound so that we end this life and we enter the next life with a qalb salim, a purified heart. People argue that pain and suffering in the world proves that there's no God. And people who do that, they're just looking at life superficially. It's a very superficial argument. And they're drawing conclusions from incomplete evidence. People of faith know that pain and suffering are actually necessary tools for building good character. The mystical poet Jalaluddin Rumi, some 800 years ago, wrote, "Suffering is a gift. In it is a hidden mercy." Suffering is a gift. In it is a hidden mercy. Very wise words. Suffering teaches us patience, sabr. It also teaches us ridha, which is that total reliance of Allah, a serene acceptance of whatever Allah decrees. And you know, you can see people with this ridha in many Muslim countries, poor countries, people who have nothing, who don't know where their next meal is coming from. But you see such a calmness and a serenity in their faces. They are content with what they have because they know the one who gave them breakfast this morning will provide their supper this evening. You find people like that. And they don't need to be, bankers and billionaires who are often less happy and less content with what they have with all their millions. So, suffering also teaches us to persevere, to work hard, and to seek Allah's good pleasure, His Ridwan. Suffering teaches us humility. It teaches us that, you know, we are not in control of our lives. I don't control my heartbeat and my pulse rate and the balance of all the chemical and biological processes. You know, these things are happening inside my body through Allah's mercy. We have no control of what's happening within our own bodies even. Very little control. And Allah Ta'ala, we depend entirely, we're utterly helpless in Allah's hands. So suffering also teaches us compassion for those less fortunate than we are. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "How fortunate is the believer, he endures hardship and it is good for him." It teaches him patience. He enjoys relief from hardship and it is good for him. It teaches him to be grateful to Allah. So sabr and shukr are these two states that we always constantly find ourselves in. If you have no hardship and no stress, be thankful. Be full of shukr to Allah. And Allah will never forget you. When you do have a challenging moment in your life, Allah Ta'ala will help you and give you the courage and the fortitude to go through with that as well. So you know, brothers and sisters, there is really no problem about sufferings. It's only a problem in the minds of people. People who look at life very superficially and have these superficial arguments and go on television and write books and make a lot of money. But in the end, Allah knows best. And I'm reminded of a debate which Sayyidina Umar had with an atheist. And they had a long debate, but Sayyidina Umar, the Khalif of the Amir of all Muslims, couldn't convince this atheist that there is a next life, that he's accountable. There were no fights. It was purely a dialogue, an exchange of ideas. And in the end, Sayyidina Umar's words to this atheist was, "Okay, if you are right and I'm wrong, and we die, and there's no heaven and no hell, at least I've lived a decent, upright life. I have nothing to lose. But what if I'm right and you're wrong? What if I'm right and you're wrong?" And this is the thing that you say to an atheist. You don't have to have a fight with him. You stick to your argument and I stick to mine. We may not be able to prove anything now, but what if I'm right and you're wrong? That is where the big question lies. So as I said, there's no problem really of suffering. The problem is our own human ignorance. If we don't know Allah, we won't know His plan. We won't be able to accept His decree. We won't know our place in the vast cosmic scheme of things. We won't know who we really are, why we're here, where we've come from, and where we're going after our death. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded us about the importance of self-knowledge. One of his hadiths said, "He who knows himself knows his Lord." Brothers and sisters, let us be truly grateful to Allah that we have this wonderful gift of Iman to illuminate our way through life's challenges. Through faith, Allah also gave us the road map, the Quran and the Sunnah, so that we can navigate our way safely through this life towards our destiny, which is everlasting joy in the next life. Say Ameen. In many places, the Holy Quran reminds us, "Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun." Behold, on the friends of Allah, there is no fear and no grief. No fear and no grief. And yet, if we study the friends of Allah, and Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam is the best example, the Quran mentions Prophet Ibrahim, Nabi Ibrahim, as the friend of Allah, you find that all these prophets' lives were filled with incredible hardship. Not a single prophet had an easy life. From Nabi Adam to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's 23 prophets mentioned in the Holy Quran, and there were many others that were not even mentioned. But nobody had an easy life. Everyone suffered pain, everyone suffered grief, everyone suffered hardship. Was it because Allah hated them, Allah wanted to punish them? Of course not. They were our teachers. They taught us, and Nabi Ayyub perhaps is one of the best to teach us about patience and sabr. The English language says the patience of Job. Job is Nabi Ayyub in the Bible. And I won't have time to go into the details, but he's an excellent example of patience and reliance on Rida. So, the friends of Allah, the awliya of Allah, taught us that wonderful and serene acceptance of Allah's will. Whatever comes your way, don't complain, don't be angry, don't be upset. Allah's not angry with you. He treated these prophets with even greater hardships. It is a test for you. And just say shukr. If good comes to you, say shukr. If something difficult and hard comes to you, say shukr. And Allah Ta'ala will reward your patience and your sabr. If we can be islands of calm in the oceans of turbulence, if we can show others a kind and helpful manner in the midst of life's problems, we will truly hold high that noble legacy of the prophets and the awliya, the friends of Allah. And brothers and sisters, this is what our world needs today. The world is so frantic and so fragile and so dangerous even out there. Our friends and neighbors, indeed many of our fellow Muslims, are in dire need of spiritual guidance. They need a gentle helping hand to show them how to cope with natural and man-made calamities. How to keep our own pain and suffering and grief in perspective. You know, when something happens to you, you don't say, well, everything is wrong. And this is what happens. People go and commit suicide. They throw themselves off buildings and off cliff sides and so forth. And they drown themselves because the life has just become too much for them. And yet there are people who suffer much worse loss, much worse hardships, and accept it with a smile. And this is what Iman does. Iman is a gift that we should never underestimate. Remember, suffering and hardship won't last forever. And Allah is only testing us. Brothers and sisters, let us set a good example. Let us inspire other people in our communities and beyond our communities with our serenity, our dignity, and our strength that come out of true faith in Allah and total reliance on His mercy, His rahmah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala khairi mursaleen, Muhammadan Nabi al-Ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. أما بعد إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. May the greetings and peace be upon the best messenger Muhammad, the unlettered prophet, and upon his family, and upon all his companions. And after this, behold, Allah and his angels shower blessings on the Prophet. O you who believe, ask for blessings on him and salute him with a worthy salutation. O Allah, send your greetings upon Muhammad and his family just as you sent your greetings on Ibrahim and his family. O Allah, send your blessings on Muhammad and his family just as you sent your blessings on Ibrahim and his family. In both worlds, you are praiseworthy and exalted. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah yawliyul azim. All glory is for Allah, all praise is for Allah, there's no power and no strength except with Allah. My dear sisters and brothers, let us not be fooled by atheists with their clever sounding arguments. Some of them are mere publicity seekers, and some, the others, are genuinely lost. Ignore the ones who are ignorant show-offs. Only give your time and attention to those who sincerely seek answers to life's big questions. Why are we here? Where have we come from? Where do we go after we die? In dealing with these topics, always first ask for Allah's help. Rabbi zidni ilma. Very simple dua. Rabbi zidni ilma. O my Lord, grant me knowledge. Before you start a discussion, we always try to recite the dua of Nabi Musa before he went to see Fir'aun. Rabbi rahli sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlal uqdatum min lisani yafqahu qawli. O my Lord, open my chest with wisdom, make my task easy for me, and remove the knot from my tongue so that they may understand what I say. It's a good dua to remember. Because what we speak, we don't want to just speak from our own lower nafs. We want to speak from Allah's guidance. And Allah can use us as vehicles for bringing light and guidance to other people. If we have that in mind. Push your ego aside. Your nafs is nothing. It's not important. Hang it up in the wardrobe there. But remember, when you're serving Allah, you're asking Allah's help, and Allah will put the right words in your mind, inshallah. I ask Allah to send us this wisdom and this guidance from Him. And let us remember that through a deeper understanding of our faith, we can also become like those whom the Quran refers to as yatafakkarun, those who contemplate, people who reflect, people who understand. I ask Allah to send down on us His divine wisdom, His hikmah, so that we have a light to illuminate our way through the confusion in the world out there. O Allah, help us and all our future generations to learn, to know, and to love Your beautiful way of Islam. Let us all hold fast to the rope that You send out, You extend for us. وَأَتَّصِمُوا بِحَبِلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا, as the Quran says. Let us all become a good example for others. O Allah, let us become a justly balanced community, ummatan wasatan, and let each one of us become a witness to the nations. My dear sisters and brothers, please remember that the khutbah is an essential part of the Jumu'ah. Prayers have to be shortened to 2 raka'ats for the khutbah, to allow for the khutbah. If you miss the khutbah, you miss the Jumu'ah. So please try to be here on time. All our khutbahs are on the website, and you can get the address on the table in front there, inshallah, afterwards. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta samiyun alim. Our Lord, accept the service from us, for You are the all-hearing, the all-knowing. Rabbana habla min azwajina wa durriyatina qurrata ayni. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. O my Lord, grant us wives and descendants that will be the comfort of our eyes, and give us the grace to lead the righteous. رَبَّنَا غَفِرْ لَنَا وَلِلْإِخْوَانِ الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا مِنْ إِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Our Lord, forgive us and all those who came before us into the faith, and leave not in our hearts any rancor or sense of injury against those who have believed. Our Lord, you are indeed full of kindness, most merciful. Brothers and sisters, to conclude our khutbah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونِ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ. Surely Allah commands justice and good deeds and generosity to others and to relatives, and He forbids all shameful deeds and injustice and rebellion, and He instructs you so that you may be reminded. Remember me, I will remember you. Be grateful to me and do not reject faith. And without doubt, remembrance of Allah is the greatest thing in life, and Allah knows the deeds that you do. Amen. Aqim as-salat.